internet, and welcome to another episode of All of My Issues. In this episode 49, we have a special guest. That's right, we had the opportunity to sit down and talk with up-and-coming Australian rapper named Muggsy. That's right, Australia. We're international now. I guess we kind of always were international, you know, the internet and everything, but he fits in perfectly with our podcast because he raps about comic book superheroes, among other things. It was a real pleasure having him on, and we hope to have him on again at some point. So you can check out his work on Reverb Nation. I'll post the links in the show notes of this episode. You can also find him on Facebook. So without further ado, let's get started.
I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
All right. Today, we have a special guest on our podcast, upcoming Australian rapper Muggsy. He's joined us. Muggsy, you want to introduce yourself and tell our...
Yeah, man. What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on the show. And I'm ready to talk a bit about music, a bit about movies, and just all around hip-hop, man. So, yeah, like I said, thank you. And I'm Muggsy, upcoming hip-hop artist from Sydney, Australia. You know, where Chris Hemsworth, Thor is, Wolverine, and, you know, obviously the legendary Heath Ledger, the Joker. So, I said, thanks for having me coming on board on this.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on here. Yeah, so I don't know, tell us a little bit about how you got started, I guess.
Yeah, man, I'm 27 at the moment, and I started hip-hop music I pretty much got into it when I was 14, just through high school and that kind of thing. So, around the early 2000s, I always say we had the golden era of hip hop, but I think the 2000s were just the skyrocketing platform of the marketing and the promotion to actually get it out there to the world. It was just pretty much everywhere. And I remember as a teenager, just listening to it, like obviously, you know, being a white boy myself, looking at Eminem and just being like, man, I want to be invested into that culture. And I started just dropping down rhymes, but then I knew if I wanted to progress as an artist, I'd have to do full songs. And yeah, man, made a few demo tapes, sent it around. And it was kind of like that little local celebrity buzz. People were like, oh, he's doing hip hop music now. You know, and it just had that warmth of like people know me for my craft now. And yeah, I just couldn't put it down. Now I'm on, I've done like a whole bunch of stuff throughout my career, man. And the ride hasn't stopped yet.
That's cool. Tell us a little bit about some of the subjects that you use, like to create your songs and everything. There's one that we definitely checked out that seems to really gear towards our audience, the superhero song.
Yeah, man. Yeah, superheroes was mainly like a metaphor of not fully based on like, you know, your Marvel and your DC comics. It was more like about these rappers that they're kind of like are superheroes to me, like on their pedestal, like on their platforms, like your Eminems and, you know, your 50 Cents and stuff, like just from how high up they are in the world. It's kind of like they have the power to obviously through their messages and stuff to make a difference and, you know, change the aspect of people's opinions and stuff in life and that. And that's how I kind of like drawn it into it. Like we are kind of like have the power to make something different in you know, someone's life. So yeah, like that, I just used the word superhero as kind of like a metaphor, man. But people love it, man. When I perform that live, they're all just jumping around and that kind of thing. Maybe I might write a Batman track just like for all the Batman fans later on, man. Sure.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah.
So Muggsy, yeah. We have a mountain called Mount Rushmore. Mm. If you had to have like a your top five like rap influences, who would those be?
Do they have to still be alive, man?
No, they could be alive or dead.
Oh yeah, my top five, like still to this day, and it hasn't changed since, would have to be 50 Cent, Tupac Shakur, Eminem, Nas, and DMX. They're my top five, man. It's crazy because, I always just, like, brag with my friends over here. Like, you guys have the wildest lineups, like, when you do all these festivals like Coachella and all that kind of stuff. And over here in Australia, we just can't even break the dime. Like, we just have maybe, like, one or two good acts fly over here. But it's just sometimes we see on the internet, I don't know, it'll be like Coachella, it'll be, I don't know, this massive festival, and you look through the lineup and just think, man, well, like that's just crazy. And it's like over here, it's like, oh, we'll just chuck one artist, maybe 50 Cent will come over once in a while. It's like, yeah, thanks, Australia, pick your game up or something, you know?
That's kind of surprising me, because it seems like there are quite a few pretty big name artists from Australia.
Well, yeah, like the rock scene over here, man, like it's crazy. You know, you have your AC/DC, Midnight Oil, that kind of thing. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's a shame my brother's gone to work. He can give you all that. Like, he listens to all that kind of stuff. So, you know, yeah, we're the rock scene is incredible over here. With the hip hop scene, we got a lot of love for it, but not enough, how would I say, like networking, you know, coming together and kind of just like making something great. I think a lot of people like to do it as a hobby and, you know, just, you know, do it on the side. So it becomes very difficult for artists like myself of, you know, making a living off it, because it's sort of like, if you don't have everyone around you, like networking together and making different avenues and opportunities and gigs or open mics and that kind of thing. You know, it becomes difficult for the person who wants to do those things with no one by your side, if that kind of makes sense. So, you know, that's why I just look at any opportunity. If I can get on some maybe little ones in Australia or even in the States or the UK, I just treat any opportunity like it's a great opportunity, man, and see where it takes me. So, yeah.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, cool. Yeah, if you yeah, you know, I'm going to try to make it a little bit more superhero centric, I guess, with this question. Like, okay. Just because you know, that's kind of one of the things that we kind of talk about a lot on our podcast. Yeah. But just focusing on that superhero song and stuff like that. If you had if you could choose a superpower, what superpower would you choose?
Oh, hands down. Like, I always have this conversation with my friends all the time, man. Hands down, I think the best ever superhero power that's ever been created had to be Mystique's power, just change into anyone. Like, that was just, man, I reckon she's got the best power. You could just manipulate your way through everything and do everything, man. So, yeah, Mystique's power for sure.
So you're okay just being all blue and naked?
Yeah, or it could be like the comics, man, like just wear like a white dress or something.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Nice skull.
Yeah. More PG that way, right?
I fear that if I had the power, much, man. I would just turn into Jennifer Lawrence and stare at myself a lot.
Well, that's it, man. I could be her, but I might have Harvey Weinstein following me around too much. So, yeah, man. Yeah, like either that or, man, I was a huge influence of like not superhero, not powers wise, what powers I would have. I love the Crow movie, man. Like that was real dark and gloomy to me, and I just thought like you could spin that off with anything. You know, I just thought it was just a cool concept of bringing him back and seeking revenge and that kind of thing. And I like the Crab, man. It was a good movie.
Now, are you aware that they are going to be trying to reboot the Crow series as a major motion picture?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I had mixed signals about that. Okay. It was like on, then off, and then on, and then off. Yeah, I reckon they could do it. Obviously, it probably won't match up to Brendan Lee's, but you know, I think they could do it. Just hopefully it's still, you know, it's dark and maybe they might make it more graphic or more very dark and haunting kind of thing in Gothic, but I don't know. Just hopefully they don't make it too PG related for the kids. I want an R-rated version or something.
Yeah. We're at least two of us, I think, are pretty big Crow fans. I think Sam's a Crow fan.
Oh, I'm a Crow fan, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Well, not City of Angels.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a love that movie.
Yeah, man, it was good. Like, I heard something that, what was it? The new Batman film or some like Warner Brothers have Ben Affleck on a contract for one more time. But I was reading something. They want to get Jake Gyllenhaal or something as, you know, like as the next Batman. I was thinking, oh man, please don't do that. Like he just doesn't look the party. He just looks. He's a great actor. Yeah, don't get me wrong, but he's just as Batman. Like, nah. If you look that up, that's just a big mistake to put him in the
suit. I think I've seen that. Like you said, he is a good actor.
That's not the right role.
He would just be like always look like he was spooking somebody every time.
The Darko Knight.
Yeah, exactly, man. Let's take pictures of him like a Nightcrawler. Just be like a Batman walking around, steady hands.
I did like that movie though.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second. Just having a little minor
technical difficulty.
We're good.
Besides the Crow, do you have a favorite superhero or villain that you like that inspires you?
Inspires me, man. Not really inspires. It's more like for my work, not really. But you know, I just it kind of sounds cliche, but it's obviously has to be Batman and the Joker. You know, it's just I think with the Batman series, it's so crazy. It starts with like Adam West, which was like so kiddy and like bang and pow and that kind of thing. And I remember walking like into like a comic book shop recently. Like we've got one here, it's like about our train ride from where I live, called King's Comics. And I picked up, I think it was Death of a Family Volume 3. And there's like a scene in it which is like he's got Robin, Batgirl, Nightwing like sitting around a table, and Batman's like in this electric chair. And because the Joker's like ripped off his like face and he's like stapled it back on, they've all got their like face, their faces are like all in bandages and stuff. And it makes you think, like, has he done the same effect to them as what he's done to them and to himself? And I was just reading it, like, holy, like, crap, man, this is just so inhumane. Like, but that's the thing I love about Batman is you can make it go so dark and twisted to a point of like horror style, but still make it Batman. And I feel like that a lot of other superheroes, you can't really do that. Like Spider-Man, it probably wouldn't work. You could maybe do it maybe with Wolverine, but it'll be, I don't know. Like, I just feel like Batman's characters and stuff are just so on point that it's like you could easily work them in. But a lot of other comic superheroes, I don't think you could. Because it's like they're mainly like a family friendly market, if that makes sense, man.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. Yeah, the Batman character is kind of like, yeah, it's kind of, you know, you see like movies like Lego Batman, which is totally kid friendly, but still works with the Batman character. It just seems like the Batman character is super flexible. They can do, you know, get a little bit darker with the character, they can get lighthearted. Like the Adam West Batmans as well.
Right. Yeah, especially the Arkham games, man. You know, it was amazing. The final one, Arkham Knight. Spoilers to anyone who hasn't finished it, but like it was just such amazing progress. He wasn't like when he would go up against these villains, like Mr. Freeze and the Poison Ivy scene just got me the most of like you've been fighting these villains for so many years that it's kind of you've built such a bond with them that it's like not a friendship, but it's more just like a relationship sort of thing. Because there's like a scene where I think it was the Scarecrow. He toxins all of Gotham City, and then she like grows this massive tree or like full of her plants or powers or something. But to like regenerate this tree to stop the toxin, she like has to sacrifice herself, you know. And then I remember she like falls into Batman's arms and then kind of like disintegrates away, but she's like she doesn't apologize, but she's just like, I wanted my beauties or my plans to like bring peace and stuff to Gotham. And then she like floats away. And then I just thought, fuck, like the compassion that these characters have between each other was just like amazing. They're not even villains and heroes. They're just, I don't know, man. It was just a wonderful experience kind of thing to me watching that through a video game. Yeah, it was just cool, man.
Yeah, I remember that scene, and I was like, I never thought playing it, I'd be like, oh no, Poison Ivy, come back. You know, like, they can't really kill her. What's up? Oh.
Yes. Yeah. Batman's got probably like the richest rogues gallery.
Oh, for
like
sure.
Just, you know, just really interesting. Like you said, they're more than just villains. They're really in-depth characters, right. You know, just, you know, they've played around with them a lot, you know, over the years and stuff. So,
yeah, and those games did an excellent job of bringing them to life.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, they did a better job than Batman and Robin, man. That was like, damn, that was a shocker, you know.
Yeah, that was a little rough. Yeah,
there were some dark years.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You guys like Mr. Freeze, Arnold's Mr. Freeze.
Oh man, no.
Judge Chill.
Speaking of Mr. Freeze, though, on Batman the Animated Series, that was the best portrayal of Mr. Freeze I think they have ever done. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
I love that.
But, oh, that was incredible, man. Yeah, I have to say that Mr. Freeze's episodes were great, but the best episode was definitely when Harvey Dent turned to Two-Face, and then I think it was a part one, part two series, and like I think he's like in the hospital and he's like, give me a mirror, and then like his girlfriend's got the roses and she's like walking down like the aisle to his room, and you just hear him like growl and scream of the monster he's came into. And I was like, man, like that voice actor, just give him props, honestly. Like, just capturing that character right there, and just the split personality with the big bad Harv and that. And he tried to attack the, I think the psychoanalyzer, like she puts him under the hypnosis, and he like tries to attack her. It was just so good. Like, Batman the Animated Series will always go down in history, man, as one of the greats. Mm.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
I really want them to bring that back with all the original people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. Man. For sure.
They can even almost just redo some of the same episodes. And just, I mean, like, that's perfect. You can't do anything better than that.
If we can get a Full House reboot, why can't we get Batman the Animated Series?
right.
That's it, yeah. Mask of the Phantasm style. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good too. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, speaking of voice acting too, we noticed on your SoundCloud you had some voice acting stuff on there. Is that correct?
With the Ninja Turtles thing, man. Yeah, that was crazy. So some guy in because I use a site called Star Now, which is kind of like a job site catered towards, you know, acting and music and all entertainment stuff. And there was a guy in there that was pitching an idea to Nickelodeon for, like this idea to make another few episodes for, I think, the TMNT show on Nickelodeon. And he was looking for voice actors to kind of do little pitches of, I think it was Leonardo, Raphael, no, wait, yeah, it was all the Turtles and Splinter as well. And me and like a good friend of mine, because he's got a lot of recording gear, we just thought to give it a try, like, you know, a shot at it. And we sent it through to him, and he kind of liked it. But I think there was like more professional voice actors than us, like, because we were just winging it. Obviously they got the parts later on, but it was still fun to even try. We didn't even think we were gonna get anything back. We'll think, oh, you know, that's great and stuff, but you know, just like like, you know, you had your shot, but he wanted us to do it a second time, and we did, but like someone else got it, and you know, that was the story behind it, man. But it's a great experience and a lot of fun, a lot of dry throats at the end of the day, but you know, what can you do?
That's cool, even that you got a call back, though. Really, I mean,
yeah, man, it was pretty insane. Awesome. Like, he wanted us to, like, he loved our turtles, but when it came to Splinter, I remember he wanted like the kind of new Splinter. Like, it's more like a Liam Neeson kind of old man star. And I was so, I remember in my audition tape, I did kind of the Splinter that was in the 90s, where he's got that nasally, like, old man-ish kind of thing, like the real life Ninja Turtles show back then. And he was like, "Man, I liked it, but I need the new version." I was like, "I can't crack it. It's just you know, it's too hard. Like, I don't sound like Liam Neeson, you know." I think that was like my mistake right there of not getting it, but. Man, I remember when my friend Jared, because I said, all right, I'll do Leonardo and you do Donatello and Michelangelo, because their voices are very high pitched, and you know, he can hit those high notes. And then I remember I gave him the mic and he just nailed it in a heartbeat, and I had to walk out of the room because I was cracking myself laughing too much. Like, it was just like too funny of how, because he's got such a deep voice, but when he gets into a character, it's like someone's squeezing his man parts and he's hitting the high notes right there. I just had to walk out. I couldn't do it. He's like, "Man, shit." He's like, "Shut up, start laughing. I'm losing my concentration." I was just like, "All right, I'm out of here. I'm out." You know? Yeah.
Yeah, I saw something relatively recently online where I think they're supposed to be rebooting the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with that. They're going to kind of make it look a little bit more like the Michael Bay movies, which I'm a little bit not too happy about, but
I think they're making Raphael actually the leader.
Yeah, yeah. And, but also he looks gigantic, you know,
compared to the other turtles, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not sure how. I'm like, that's not the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles I grew up with. I don't know.
It's Michael Bay catching it.
Yeah, yeah.
I totally agree with you, man. Like, those Michael Bay ones were just such a mistake. Like, I sat down at the movies and watched it, and I gave it, you know, like, a chance. But when I saw, what's her name? Megan Fox as April O'Neil.
Oh, yeah.
I was so, like, that the whole movie, I couldn't even focus on the plot. I couldn't focus on the story, the characters, because the whole time, just knowing that she was April O'Neil, it just annoyed me, because I just thought, like, you could pitch some actress that could look like her, could, you know, capture it, but you just, because Michael Bay's got a thing for her, he's just like, "Oh, we'll put me and Megan Fox in there." It's you just couldn't kill it like that. Like, pick the chick from, what is it, Dredd? What was it? Like, Dredd, like his partner with the red hair. She was like, she looked perfect for it. I was like, "Nah, we'll just put Megan Fox in." And I'm just like, just what a mistake. And she can't act for crap, man.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole I haven't even brought myself to watch any of those yet. But
my kids own them, but that's, I won't watch them.
Don't make the mistake, man. I paid my $15 sadly at the movies, and you know, walking into that trap, and I regret myself ever since.
It's a trap.
Yeah, man. What do you guys think of that? Like, of the new episode 8, were you a yes for it or a no for it?
I think we're mixed a little bit. Yeah. Overall, I think we're all yes, but. I'm a little bit stronger, yes, I think, than Rick here.
Yeah, there's some issues there's, that I kind of have with it. But
I heard someone explain it like this, you know, it's 2 hours of some of the best Star Wars you ever see, and unfortunately it's a 2.5 hour long movie.
that's pretty spot on there, probably. Yeah, because, you know, I think...
Have you seen it?
Yeah, man, I saw it first night it came out.
What did you think?
Yeah... Man, it's a hard one, you know. It's like obviously it won't beat Empire Strikes Back. Let's be reasonable here, man. Like, you know,
but I could have done without the whole casino planet sub.
Oh man, yeah, of course. Like, what was that? So, you know, like the whole animal thing, and honestly, man. Like the things I wanted to see in it was I wasn't a fan of the Yoda. A lot of people grill me for that. It's like, you didn't like Yoda, but I'm more a Obi-Wan fan, and like, I know the CGI would be super damn hard with like Alec McGuinness, like, who talked to Luke, but I swear if like from still with Luke and he just, I don't know, he just came out or something, like, I would have got chills. Like, Yoda really didn't, like, do it for me. I love Yoda, but not as much as Obi. The ending, man, where, like, I thought it was cool that he was using the Force, like, as a mirage kind of thing. Spoilers to anyone who hasn't seen it, but pick your game up because you should see it.
When he
brought out the blue lightsaber instead of the classic Return of the Jedi one. I know it's such a small thing, but I was like, man, I wanted to see that green, like, obviously we saw it in the sequence when he was trying to, like, destroy him, but that didn't count for me. I wanted to see an actual battle with that saber, like, once again, and it didn't happen, man. But, I'm very picky with those things. I need it right. But, man, like, I got one of my closest friends is like a huge Star Wars fan, and we keep saying, like, just make a Knights of the Old Republic film. Just make it, just that would just bring in, that would rake in the cash, man. And you know, but I don't know if they're going to do it or not, because it's.
I'm anxious to see, because they got the showrunners from Game of Thrones, giving them a series of Star Wars movies. And so I'm kind of anxious to see what era they choose.
Man.
Like, I swear, who was it? Who's that guy in Dracula Untold? Luke Evans. I swear he would play the best Revan. Like, he's just got the beard and the hair for it and stuff.
I actually really like that movie, Dracula Untold.
I didn't really like it, but I did like it.
I would say, you know, it's like, oh, that's the best movie ever, but I liked it way more than I expected.
Sam, not a fan.
But that's okay. Yes. That's okay. I don't know, Bugsy. I'm a little hurt that you didn't like Yoda, but that's okay.
I don't know, man. I need Obi in there, man. You know, I'm super pumped for that. Like on a sad note, the Obi-Wan film. I'm really. Well, I don't even know what they're doing with it. They keep saying yes, it's on. Yes, it's not. I'm looking forward to it. Solo. Not really, man, to be honest. Like, I didn't even
that's kind of how I feel about it.
I haven't been feeling anything to do with the Solo movie. Now, that being said, I feel that if this is a prequel to a Solo Lando Calrissian movie, because Donald Glover looks so good.
Dude, I know. That's what I was going to say. I'm like, the only thing that got me excited about that trailer was his portrayal of Lando. I almost want them to make a Lando movie instead of a Solo movie.
That's right.
Absolutely. Like, the guy from what was that show? Atlanta or something? They nailed it on the coffin right there of like how good he looks, man. But a lot of people grilled me for it. I wasn't a fan of Rogue One, man. You know, I just didn't like it. Like, I'm so used to Jedis and Sith and like these little side stories. It just doesn't capture me, man. Like, leave it to the books. But I hope this Solo film's good. I'm kind of iffy about it, you know. Maybe if they put Jango Fett in there, which they probably will. I don't know how they're going to do about that. But, you know, I'll still go and see it. But just bring the damn Obi-Wan film out first. Like, I want to see that more.
Because that just sounds like it could be a
Well, here's the thing. They say the movie's back on. Ewan McGregor says they haven't contacted him yet, but then I saw photos of him working out with a full Obi-Wan beard. So
I saw that too, I'm man. Hoping.
Yeah.
Just the concept, man, of in between episode 3 and 4, like that events would just be a masterpiece, man, of like knowing what, you know, we always know the origin of like what he's done to Anakin on Mustafar and just like, you know, the nightmares that he has and all that kind of thing. It would just be so perfect. And watching Luke raise up into, you know, his young self, it's just so good, man. Like you can't go wrong with it. So just bring it out for me, especially me. Yeah.
Because like, just to go back to the Solo movie for a moment, like I was like thinking about what they could actually cover in that movie, and we pretty much know probably everything that's going to happen in, right? I mean, he's probably going to meet Chewbacca at some point.
He's going to win the Millennium Falcon.
Win the Kessel Run. Yeah. So it's like, oh, that's got to be
a series of plot points that you already know.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I don't know if I want to really see the Kessel Run.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things where
I'd rather just be
a mythological.
Yeah. Or just the mystique of it. Oh, he won the Kessel Run. Oh, I don't need to see it. I just have to know that it won it.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know.
But, so. Yeah. Like Chewie and stuff. What was it like? Yeah. I don't know if it's too Star Wars in depth, but you know, the enslave on the Wookiees and all that. Like, was it? What about the what does Kyundi Mundi say in episode 3? The what about this?
The attack on the Wookiees or something like that?
That's like way but like past like his thing, but I don't know. I wonder if they've still got enslaved and that. I think it was in a comics or graphic novel of Darth Vader enslaves them all or something like that, you know, but it's not canon anymore. Yeah.
Well, that isn't canon anymore. I mean, we still have to have a Wookiee life debt, so
yeah.
I wonder if we'll see that.
You know, that would be great. Brought back the Wookiee life
day. Yeah, shaking all that. Say Seeker Shake again. Yeah.
I guess we'll ask you.
Bring it a little bit back more towards your career for a little bit.
Yeah.
If that's okay.
Yeah, sure, man. Ask me anything. This is actually a pretty chill conversation, which I like.
Yeah. So, since you've started this, your career. What would you say the craziest experience that you've had is?
I think my craziest experience is, I wouldn't say music related, man. It shifts like back to the comic stuff. But I remember, man, like we like you guys over there have Comic-Con. Over here, we've got a thing called Supernova Pop Expo. And it's kind of like our little Comic-Con thing. And I remember 2015. And Walter Manuel Jones, who plays as the Black Ranger in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, was doing a meet and greet. And I never, this is like the hands down best experience of my whole damn life, man. Like I used to watch that show as a kid, wanting to be this guy. Like everyone liked the White Ranger, everyone liked the red one, but me, like the black one, he had the whole hip hop style and that kind of thing. And I remember I rocked up and we were just having this full conversation for like 30 minutes. Like, cause like it was so bad, man, because he was doing a Down Under tour with the Red Ranger. And when I rocked up, like the Red Ranger's run was just fully packed to the max. And like he had no one, like legit, not even one single person. And the security chick that like takes your money and like, you know, goes, oh, next person. She was like, well, why don't you go and, you know, like take a picture with the Red Ranger like the rest. And I was like, Red Ranger? Jeez, Tommy takes his place. Get real. You know, and then she was like, oh, you're a dedicated fan. And I was just like, oh, damn straight. So anyways, he comes out and he's like checking his stuff, like his little promo photos and this kind of thing. And he looks at it like we're like a tay with just like directly in front of me. He's like, and he was a bit jet lagged from the travel, and he was like, "Yo, man, well, like, you know, what's up? Thanks for coming down." And I was like, "Dude, oh my god, like, you know, you're like my hero, man." And like, yeah, like we're just talking like about the show and all this kind of stuff. And I remember we grabbed the morphers at there, and then like the whole crowd that was there, we did the whole famous "It's Morphin' Time," and the crowd just chanted and literally like went wild, like just screamed and applauded and that. And yeah, it was just an incredible experience knowing like, holy crap, I did the whole famous catchphrase with like this guy that I looked up to and that kind of thing. Like who does that? And yeah, like ever since then, man, that's like probably one of the highlights, not of my career, but just in life in general, man. So hopefully that tops my career more.
The Black Ranger did have the second most single battle kills out of all the Power Rangers. So,
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's my favorite Ranger right there. So I think you made up for the Yoda, Mugsy. So
you won Sam back over. Yeah, you won me back
over. And then I give you credit because like last year, Johnny Young Bosch, who replaced Walter Emmanuel Jones, came last year, and because he's in a he's in a heavy metal band now. it was funny because everyone was going up to him, you know, saying, "Oh, what were you doing in, you know, this part and, you know, this, you know, scene and this kind of thing." And I walked out and he, you know, he kind of gets this a lot that's kind of, it must take a draining, like, "Oh, is anyone even going to ask about my music or like, you know, what I'm doing now?" And then, so I walked up and I just like, I don't even know what his band is, like, cause I'm not a heavy metal fan, but I walked up, man. And I was like, "So are you down here with your band?" And he's like, "No, I'm doing a solo kind of thing." And I was telling him the heavy metal places to check out in Sydney, like, you know, I was like, check out this place or check out this bar, they take a lot of acts or this kind of thing. I was kind of like being his little booking agent in a way. And he's like, "Yeah, definitely. Are you a musician as well?" And I said, "Oh yeah, I do hip hop music." And he's like, check, you know, send me some of your stuff and I'll check it out." And I was like, wait, what? Like that, you know? And he's like, "Yeah, send me your link." And I was just like, "All right, cool. I'll do that when I get home." And so I like sent him my Reverb Nation band profile. And I just remember him like writing back. He's like, "Cheers, man. Nice meeting you. I'll definitely check it out and tell you what I think." And I was like, holy crap, man. Like, you've got thousands of people liking your page and you've just probably remembered my name or something and just taken the time to listen to my jams. It's just, what the hell, man. Like another one, like another childhood moment right there, man. So hopefully he checked out those bars, which I told him about, but I doubt it, man. He probably went to Melbourne or something like that. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
Now, have you ever had the opposite experience where you've met someone that you've, I won't say idolized, but that you've liked a lot and they've disappointed you with their attitude? We've had a couple of those.
Nah, not really, man.
No, that's good.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, I haven't had a bad experience yet. Actually, the only bad experience. I'm not sure if you guys, because it's an Australian movie, Wolf Creek. Do you guys have Wolf Creek?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wow. You got, because it's an Australian horror film. So I thought it was just only over here. But the actor, John Jarrett, you know, he was doing like a book signing at Supernova. And that was kind of like a bit of a off moment. You know, I don't know if he was taking the piss out of me, like, you know, grilling into me, or if he was staying in his character as Mick Taylor in the movie. But like, you know, I walked up and he's like, "Hey man, can I take a picture?" And you know, like, because of my hip hop style, he was like, "What are you trying to be? A wannabe gangster?" That was like, and he's doing like the whole slang, and I was like, "What? Like, what? What are you talking about?" Like that, and he's like, "Staying there." I don't know if he was staying in character or not, but you know, I was just like, "All right, I'll try to play it cool." But he was always taking shots at me all the time. And then, like, I think I took it like a good one at him, you know, because he was just like, "Oh, you know, Australians don't dress like this and all this kind of thing." And I was like, "All right," he was into Django. So I was like, what, is he taking shots because I'm trying to dress like an American, or like, well, like, well, you know, it's just hip hop. Like, well, what's the big deal? So I was like, oh, how is it like we're working with Jamie Foxx, knowing that Jamie Foxx is a bigger actor? and he's just like, oh, yeah. And like, I didn't even ask about his career. I was just like a bit, because he was like a side piece in DJ. I think he was one of the, you know, the slave people. And he's like, oh, yeah, he was all right. Like that, you know, the look on his face was like, yeah, like, yeah, you got me there. You know, the guy's like more higher up in the industry than me. And then I think I got one of his little poster things, but he, you know, he signed it for me and that kind of thing. We took a photo, which is on my fan profile. But, you know, I just remember walking away thinking, was he in character that whole time, or was he literally taking shots at me? I could never tell. But, yeah, that was kind of a bad experience, I suppose. But I'll never know.
Yeah.
So hey, let me ask you this question. Well, this is kind of a weird follow-up, kind of based on what you said. You asked about whether or not we had Wolf Creek. What do you feel is some of the best stuff going on in Australia right now that we could maybe check out that hasn't permeated yet into American culture?
Okay. Oh, wow. Honestly, man, when it comes to movies and TV shows and stuff, you guys get it first. Like, the only one I can think of is Wolf Creek, because, you know, it was such an independent horror film that I thought it was just Australia wide, like, but knowing that it was overseas, so that's actually pretty crazy. The other ones, I think, Bleeding Steel, I think that's that was one of Jackie Chan's new ones here, which he filmed over here. I was an extra in it, but I know that was one of his Australian films over here, like a kung fu movie. Bleeding Steel, do you guys have that released?
I've not heard of that.
No, but I'm writing it down right now because we like Jackie Chan.
Damn, what other ones? Man, I suck. Like, that's like literally the only one I can think of because I was just an extra in it. God, man. No, I'm just like, it sucks because sometimes movies come over there and the rating, not the rating, but like the violence or something is very graphic that it doesn't even come over here. Like, we have to illegally download it or, you know, try and get it off eBay or something. Really? Like, awesome. I remember 2009, I think it was 2009 when Rob Zombie's first Halloween came out, and, you know, that was cool. But when the second one came out, like, was released, from the viewers viewing the first one, they're like, we don't even want the second one into our shores. And like, you had to literally bootleg it or get it off eBay. It literally didn't come to our cinemas or nothing. And I remember when I ordered it off eBay and then it came here, it was just like, really? Like, you didn't bring that film into the country? Like, that was like the crummiest Halloween film I've seen. It's shocking, you know? Like, yeah. Yeah. So, like, that. So sometimes it when it's like so not graphic, but I guess like the viewers or the people think it's graphic, it doesn't come into our shores. Like, you know, sometimes even people put the whole what is it, not protest, but the petitions where it's like, let's build a rally so this doesn't come into our shores and that kind of thing.
That kind of shocks me.
Yeah,
I don't know. You know, we're based in Ohio.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because we're kind of, you know, center of the country type thing. And so when I think of Australia, I don't think of that kind of attitude.
Yeah, that surprises me too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have expected
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like another one that was like, it was on the verge of not even coming here, and it was a huge uproar about it, was Wolf of Wall Street. Like when that was released, because, like, you know, the sex, the drugs, and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was literally like, I remember there was tons of news reports on it saying, like, there was, you know, people doing, not rallies, but, you know, the sign, I can't even think of the name, sign your name down petitions and stuff. saying like we don't want this into our country, and you know, just like it's like foul against women, and you know, kids shouldn't be looking up to this kind of stuff, and it was just insane. And then there was another half which was like, well, it's entertainment, it's you know, like it's just, it's not like glorified, but it's just, you know, it's a movie. And I'm happy it did come into the country, man, because it was an incredible movie. I thought Leo should have won it that year for it, to be perfectly honest, more that the Revenant, in my opinion. But, man, like, if they kicked that movie out of our shores, I probably would have left the country, man, because that's, like, one of my favorite movies, man. Yeah.
I mean, it's good. It's no Halloween 2.
But so it's not just violence that they it's
yeah, when I think Australia, I feel like as a whole, I feel like the country's more progressive maybe than we are, and it doesn't sound, at least entertainment wise, like that might be the case.
Nah, man, not at all. You know, well, like to be honest, man, like on a side note, we're not like you know, we're not like Crocodile Dundee. I always have a lot of interviews. Right. They're like, you know, I use like Crocodile Dundee. Like, this ain't a knife. This is, what is it?
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
Yeah. That's not a knife. This is a knife or something. And I was like, man, like, you'll probably catch one of those guys maybe at the pub 2 a.m. Like, very rarely. But like, your average kind of guy, nah, man, like, not even close. So, obviously, he's an icon, Paul Hogan, but I sat down with my dad and watched that film when he's wrestling, like, crocodiles and this kind of thing. I was like, man, come on. Like, this is so shocking. Like,
right.
You know, we're not like that, you know. But it's all for a laugh. Paul Hogan will always be a legend to us, you know.
Yeah, I loved the first Crocodile and Dundee movie as a kid. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess they're supposed to have a new.
No, that was for a Super Bowl commercial.
New, what, the Dundee?
Yeah, it's a fake movie.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, get out of here. I didn't know that.
They advertised a sequel on American television and everybody hyped up a little bit, or else angry a little bit, depending on which side of the internet you're on. But it turns out, I don't think it was real. It was just, it was a Super Bowl commercial.
Was that the one with
a fake website? And
was that the one with Chris Hemsworth and, I can't remember. Yes.
Henry McBride. Yeah.
That was, cause he did a report recently, Chris Hemsworth. I think he's came back to our shores recently. And I think he did say it was it was kind of like a skit for Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh man. See, I didn't realize
that. Rick hasn't heard that. He's a little behind in the news.
Yeah. See,
so you're getting his disappointment in real time right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. Hey, I was on your Facebook page and I happened to notice a picture of you with Ron Jeremy.
Oh man, what an incredible experience that was. Honestly, like. It kind of makes him sound like a bit sleazy, man, but I don't know what it's called over there, but like, you know, it's called Sexpo down here. And you know, I remember sitting in a coffee shop one night with like one of my friends, and we're just like, man, let's just go to Sexpo, let's just do it, you know. And he's like, well, who's gonna go? And I'm like, well, Ron Jeremy. And he's like, yep. The most iconic porn star, like, let's do it. So we go there, and his assistant Amber, surprisingly, I don't know what we did to impress her, but honestly, like, now we've got her on Facebook and stuff, and you know, it's not like his actual assistant that follows him around the world. It's more just if he wants to come to Australia or even any other adult star, that they hit her up and she books their hotels and that kind of thing. And you know, she was just like, you know, I like you guys, you know, you're a real cool fun and that, you know, I'll add you on Facebook. And we just looked at each other like, holy crap, like, what, you know, like, sweet. So Ron came out, and obviously I think he's got health issues now, but he's really old and just like, you know, shaking his hand. And I was like, oh, you know, nice to meet you. And this, and I was just like touching royalty, like, oh, like, you know, it was really cool. Like, no, like meeting Ron Jeremy, you know, knowing that he's been over 800 films or something, but you know, he's probably like a little sleazeball, but you know, it's just, It was a really cool atmosphere. Like, you know, yeah, just the king. I don't know. Yeah. Awkward. Yeah.
He's always, you know, interviews and TV and stuff like that. He always seems to be like a really cool guy, actually. Yeah. You know,
I shook his hand, took a photo with him and that, and, you know, walked off the little stage, and my friend Ben, who's the, you know, the Star Wars guy, a good friend of mine, he goes up and he's just like, I remember like he like gave him a kiss on the forehead, and I was just like, and then like all of a sudden he walks off the stage.
That might be the only safe place to kiss off the
stage. And then Ron grabs his hand and he's like, no, it's funny, and he like pulls him back, and like from my line of view was the back of Ron's head. Because I was off the stage, the back of Ron's head and Ben's like forehead, and he pulls Ben back to him, and like it looked like he put his like tongue in his mouth, and like the whole crowd's like laughing, and I'm literally like dying to go to a bathroom because I'm just thinking I'm gonna wet myself here. It's like, holy crap, like full hooking up with him. And then he shows me the photo and he put his hand over his mouth and pretended to like hook up with him. But like from my view, when I saw that, I was thinking, oh my God, like the world's most iconic porn star is putting his tongue in your mouth. But he just like fake believed it, but it was still hilarious, you know? Yeah. So that was like the highlight of the day, I suppose. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, spying on me, man, like that's crazy. Oh, yeah, awkward with Ron.
Oh
yeah.
No, not at all.
I was just about to ask with your music, do you have any upcoming events that you want to plug?
At the moment, yeah, man. Album. I've been just only working on a third album at the moment. It's been 2013 since my second one dropped, and like after that, I got into the whole acting side of things. So my fans have been eager for the past 4 or so years, like wanting more stuff. So hopefully this year, try and write more stuff and get in the studio, man. But it's when acting work has been progressively giving me more work, it's very hard to take the time to try and think of new ideas or new concepts to write. But I've got a whole ton of beats to write to. It's just I got to really sit down and pencil it in. But all I can tell fans and viewers and everything that's, you know, tuning in is it'll be a 2-disc. I want to like release as much content as possible and yeah, just send it out there for a third release, and that should be good. But there's no title for it yet. There's no track list. It's just the only concept is it'll be a 2-disc, and that's about it, man. So hopefully just people who have followed my page will keep up to date with it, like whenever I put updates. But that's about it, man.
Okay.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you have like a Twitter account or anything like that? You can tell our listeners that they could follow you at, and even when you get to the point to where you release that album or anything like that, just hit us up when we can.
Yeah, no, not really, man. Just my main platform is Facebook. If anyone just types in Mugzy, Mugzy, but to you guys over there, it's Mugzy. I've never known the origin. Why we over here call it Zed. I'll have to try and figure that out, but Mugzy, just like send me a message to, like, even if there's any upcoming artists that want me to check out their stuff, I always take the time to. Check me out, give me a thumbs up, because any support is great. And that's my main platform. It keeps you up to date with albums, interviews like this, you know, upcoming releases and that kind of thing, man. So that's my main platform I use, is on Facebook.
Sweet. Awesome.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
I don't know, like, if there's anything else, you know, you guys want to ask, man, any stories to put me on the spot, anything like that? Yeah. I know, like from like all your movie stuff on the page, man. Did you guys like any video game fans? Is they're trying to put together a Metal Gear Solid movie, like back and forth. Have you been hearing about that?
I have not heard much about it on my end. I do like video games. Budget-wise, I tend to not buy a ton and then play the ones I have to death. So right now I'm in the middle of Battlefront 2 and I can't stop playing.
Is that the old-school Battlefront, man, or is that the new one?
I have that one upstairs right now. My kids are playing it. It doesn't look as good on the on the newer TVs because I got it on the old PlayStation 2. But yeah, I'm playing the new one right now.
Oh man, I have to say like we can upgrade all these consoles and like everything and put all graphics. But I still recommend like PlayStation 2 for me was my jam back in the past. It just like San Andreas, man. Like
I would pay more. For them to take Battlefront 2 update from the PS2 and upgrade the graphics and put it on the PS4, I would prefer it to what they gave us.
Oh,
it might do that.
Yeah, man. Like I remember when, you know, when like the release when everyone was like, Battlefront 1 was a flop. Hopefully, Battlefront 2 is better. And there was like all these like little things on the internet saying hopefully it's like the original. And I remember Mos Eisley where you'd be all the Jedis and you'd fight each other and all that kind of thing. And like my brother got it and I walked into his room and I was like, how was it? And he was like, just crap. Just this was such a waste of money. You know? I was like, yeah, I had a feeling it wasn't going to be better than the original and just laughed about it. But yeah, just try and just bring it home for like the true Star Wars fans, man. Like, you know, bring it, like, just bring like episode one to episode episode eight now. Just do like a whole long Battlefront game like they did in the past with episode one to episode four.
I just want an updated Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
That would be cool. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, man.
I didn't hear anything about the Metal Gear Solid thing. I like I was a pretty big fan of the first few games.
Recently, they kept having like directors and stuff fall out of it, or they had like one writing a script, but then it went a bit stale. And what's the guy's name? That's I know there's a guy that's on board with it now, and he's not filming, but he's still writing the script. It was some guy. He's got like a massive long beard. What is he? He did a. And it's gonna kill me, like, knowing because I can visualize his face, but I just don't know his name. I don't know. He did like a recent film that was Pacific Rim. No, it wasn't that. I don't even know, but yeah, like I think it's going ahead. I just hope they get. I reckon Bradley Cooper would be a good Solid Snake, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, he would.
When I saw American Sniper, when he was like had the bandana on an American Sniper behind the sniper rifle, I just thought he had like the perfect look. I don't know who would play as Liquid. That's a hard one to crack. Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, when they make those transitions from the video games to the movies, you know, they've had mixed success, I think, with that.
Like Street Fighter?
Yeah, Street Fighter. There's that Mario Brothers movie that was
You don't name that movie.
Yeah, that was... Whew. I like the Resident Evil movies, though.
Yeah.
I do like those.
I have to say it's very difficult. Like, there's been a lot of flops of video game movies. So it's very hard to try and crack something in which the fans will love. So just hopefully they don't screw this one up.
Yeah.
Like, if they make, like, a real-life Shadow Moses on the big screen, it would just be... Fantastic, man. Just I don't want the, you know, anything else besides Metal Gear Solid 1 on the big screen, man. You know, it's just have Gray Fox, have everything, you know, just be perfect. Yeah.
They could almost just take that whole the storyline that happens in the game and just make that the movie because it's so cinematic as it is. Yeah. I think so.
Oh man, tell me about it. It was fantastic. Like Metal Gear Solid 1 was just so before its time. Like when that came out, yeah, it was incredible. You know,
yeah, that was my big PlayStation game. Was that game?
Yeah. A funny thing, man, is a lot of people over here. I thought it was going crazy. A lot of people over here when San Andreas came out, the movie with The Rock. I remember the promo poster for it was just black and it just said San Andreas. Did everyone think it was going to be like what the movie, I didn't even see the movie, but what it was about, or did people think it was actually going to be a real live Grand Theft Auto movie?
Oh man, I think I probably would have liked a Grand Theft Auto movie better.
Like the reaction on my friend's face was priceless. Like I can't remember the film that I think we were seeing Captain America or something. It was like something before the events of San Andreas, like the same year. And we walked past the poster and it was just pitch black, just said San Andreas in white. And he was like, oh my God, are they making a game of the a movie of this? And I said, I don't even know. Maybe like that. and the trailer came on and it was like The Rock and he's like, oh, okay. I think it was like in a helicopter or something. He's like, all right, so far so good. And you see the massive tidal wave and he's like, wait, hold on. What's going on here? Like, it's like, I was just, popping the question, man, because I was wondering if a lot of people got sucked into that trap of thinking, wow, they're making a GTA movie, but it was just something else.
I don't think it happened here so much because The Rock's on the poster for everything. It must be in his contract. So the second you see San Andreas here, you see the Rock's face. Yeah. I don't know how he became the biggest action star in America right now, but he sure did.
He definitely did, yeah.
Heck,
yeah.
He's in the new video game movie, Rampage.
Rampage,
yeah.
Is he really? That Rampage?
Yes.
What? I didn't know anything about this. Get out of here.
Yes, he's in Rampage.
Is he as himself or what?
No, he's as himself.
He's as a human, and he is friends with the gorilla, but then...
they do an experiment.
Experiment.
Who was it?
Space. Oh, my God.
Who does the experiment? Somebody famous.
His face.
Somebody I like as an actor.
Who played Negan?
Oh, yeah, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Yeah.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Oh, my God.
And so now there's a wolf, there's a gorilla, and then
you see the crocodile.
Then you see the crocodile at the end, yeah.
Oh, my God. That is
rampaging.
Man.
Playing some of Smashing Pumpkins in the background.
Wow.
I don't know
how you missed this.
I don't either. This is crazy.
And I'm not going to lie. It doesn't necessarily look good.
Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't. But I'm just like, wow, I can't believe
it. It might be so bad it's good, though. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
It may be better than Battleship. So.
But yeah. Have you heard about this, Muggsy? Am I the only one this is news to?
Yeah, I just looked it up, man, because I thought you were talking crazy for a second. it's honestly, I look at him now, man, and I think, man, it's incredible. I can't envision him being the guy from WWF back in the day. Yeah, of how big this guy is now, and it's still the same dude. Like that's another thing. Australia can't pick their game up with, man. Like I love that show, Ballers. And, I think you guys are in season 4 or something now. And, like, we're still on season 2. I'm like, man, hurry up. I'm I need to watch this, And
so there's definitely a delay.
Yeah.
TV and stuff?
What's up, man?
Oh, sorry. Is there that much of a delay with some of our stuff getting to Australia?
With TV shows, man. What is it? What's the number one I'm trying to think of Gotham. Man, what have we gone wrong here or something? Like we're still, I think you guys are on Gotham season 5 or 6. We're still on season 2. Man,
wow.
Every single CD, digital DVD shops over here. Like, we don't even have season 3 or 4 or even 5 on the shelves yet, man. It's still season 1 and season 2.
Really?
That's how, like, far behind we are. It's crazy. So, yeah, we just pretty much eBay, like, all our stuff, man. Yeah.
So it's different with the movies then? Movies come out around about the same time frame?
I wouldn't say, like, you know, like, just say if you guys released it over there now, it'd come over here today. It's mainly, sometimes it's like months apart, man. Man, if I had a look, I remember it was like a recent film I wanted to see, and I think it was,
Well, for us, the movie Black Panther
is about to come out.
It's about to come out. Yeah. So, okay, if I looked up Black Panther, it would probably be, because I haven't even seen any promo trailers for it yet over here, man. Yeah.
What? That is crazy.
It looks good. It looks real good.
It does look real good. Yeah.
It's until recently at a 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, one reviewer gave it some negative review for like some dumb reason. I'm assuming Sam is probably thinking it's because it's the black and the Black Panther.
Just saying.
I believe it was an eye that gave it a bad review.
Really?
But, and they gave it 3 out of 5 stars, but it counted as a negative review.
I have to say, man, I'm super pumped for that film. You know, like, I love Michael B. Jordan. I'm more pumped for. I don't even know if it's going to happen, but the Creed films, like, hopefully they make Creed 2. Man, that'd be pretty epic. I heard all these rumors. I heard all these rumors. They're trying to bring some twist in it where the Russian, he's got like a son or something, and he takes on.
I heard that. They were trying to bring back, you know, that Dragov has a son, and
that'd be plausible. That could happen in that universe.
And the fact that, you know, now he has to face the son of the man who killed his dad.
That's him, man. Like, it could work. Hopefully it's not too cheesy, but
We don't want a Rocky 5, so
God, man, please don't.
But you know, that last Rocky movie, Rocky Balboa, that was a really good, solid film, man. That's probably my second favorite Rocky movie.
Really?
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, I give you credit for that, man, for sure. I love the whole reminiscing thing where he was just such a broken man, and because he didn't have Adrian
looking back on his life and everything.
I think it was when it would be a birthday, he would always drive to the apartment where they'd stay. And I remember Paulie's like, I can't keep doing this like year after year. And it's just amazing how powerful the acting is, man. Like, it's
all the feels.
Yeah, like it's kind of like all he is he's just playing a character, but from how powerful the storyline, the acting is, you honestly feel for him in a way, just like, wow, like this man is broken. And then you got to come to reality and think, wait, hold on. No, so his son's living in a mansion and stuff. Like, he's just playing a character. You know?
Yeah.
I still want that robot from Rocky IV. I mean, I was very, young me was very disappointed that those robots did not actually exist.
Yeah.
That were sentient.
The one that cleans up and does everything.
Yeah.
I want that robot.
That's coming out of your pinpoint. And that. What about that? Yeah.
All right, man. Well, we're a little bit over an hour here. I guess we can wrap it up. If you want to stay on after I stop recording, we can talk a little bit more. Anything else you want to, anything that you want to say? Or
I'd love to give a shout out to you guys, man, for, like, you know, putting this all together and stuff. You know, even the time difference, which is crazy. So thank you guys so much for having this interview with me, and I wish you all the best with you know, future artists or, you know, future guests and endeavors and stuff, man. So you have another supporter here from Australia, man. And to all the people, you know, tuning in and that, like I said, just check out my fan page and, you know, hit me up and that's all I can ask for, man. So, you know, it obviously enjoy Black Panther because it seems like it's coming out for you guys. More, you know, it's going to take a while for it to come out for us, but you know, enjoy that and like hopefully we can chat about it later on when you know it actually drops over here, man. So yeah,
that sounds good.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Been a pleasure, yeah, man.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks.
Too easy, guys. Take it easy. Later.